On this edition of Orlando Magic Pod Squad presented by Kia, Dante Marcatelli and George Galante catch up with Orlando Magic legend and NBA Hall of Famer Tracy McGrady. I think the first question we ask him is what it means to this day to still be referred to as a Hall of Famer, certainly an honor he greatly covets. He remembers his first interaction with Michael Jordan. Obviously, that is a hot topic these days with the documentary. And he reflects on his first interaction with MJ. He reminisces on his decision to come to Orlando back in the year 2000. The impact that his teammate Darrell Armstrong had on him here in Central Florida. What it meant to him to be a scoring champion multiple times. Of course, his 62-point night as a member of the Orlando Magic, and then the infamous 13 points in 33 seconds as a member of the Houston Rockets. What is he doing now to pass his time? And who was the person that changed the whole trajectory of his NBA career? Lots to get into with Tracy McGrady on this edition of Magic Pod Squad presented by Kia.
This is Aaron Gordon of the Orlando Magic.
This is Evan Fournier.
This is Jonathan Isaac.
This is Mo Bamba.
Check out what's new with the Orlando Magic Pod Squad.
The host of characters give you a behind-the-scenes look at Magic basketball.
The Magic Pod Squad has you covered. Subscribe and rate on iTunes and the Google Play Store today.
Dante Marcatelli, George Galante, and the Hall of Famer, Tracy McGrady, kind enough to join us. I got to know, Tracy, does that ever get old, being referred to as the Hall of Famer? It can't, right?
Oh, not at all, brother. Say it one more time for me.
Hall of Famer Tracy McGrady.
Nah, I love to hear that sound.
Is anything different now? Are you privy to rooms and buildings and clubs that weren't open before that you didn't know about?
I could walk in any door, man.
That's awesome.
All the doors open up for me now.
That's all it takes, Dante. All it takes for you to get into the Hall of Fame. Then you can just go wherever you want.
And you can open any door you want.
That's exactly awesome. Right.
Trace, what was that call like when they called to tell you? What was that? Who called you? Where were you? Like, who was around you? And like, what did that mean?
So I got the call I think it was Friday I got the call, and they were going to let me know on Monday. They were just giving me a heads up that they were going to let me know on Monday and let me know if I made it or not. So I was going to get a call regardless, right?
Okay.
So fast forward to Monday, I'm at the house, and I'm home alone. My wife has an event, or she's out doing something. Of course, the kids are at school. So phone rings. And I see on the call ID, it's, you know, Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. So I knew, okay, I started to get nervous. And he was like, is this T-Mac? I was like, yeah. He's like, I'm such and such from, you know, the Naismith Basketball Hall of Fame. And I'm just calling to let you know that you're in.
Wow.
And it was just this pause. I like the world just stopped and I just paused. And I asked him to say it one more time. I say, could you say that one more time? And, you know, he repeated it again. And, man, I was just overwhelmed with joy. And, you know, tears started coming out of my eyes. And then I started thinking, okay, the next step, who the hell am I going to call? Because I'm here by myself. My wife is at an event. I can't reach her. So I'm just trying to find people to call and tell them, you know, the good news.
Should have called me.
Yeah, you was second on the list. But I couldn't get in contact with nobody.
That's crazy.
I couldn't get in contact with nobody. And finally, I reached my brother and gave him the news. But, you know, it was a while before I told my wife. So I told everybody before I told my wife. But, man, you know, just to receive that news, it was the greatest feeling ever.
Ran out and hugged the lawn guy, first guy. whoever was around. Well, what are you doing to keep busy now? I mean, this is just unprecedented, T-Mac. I mean, we've never gone through like this, and I know everybody's thoughts and prayers are with both people on the front line and people trying to stay safe. But what are you doing to pass the time, and who's at the house with you?
Yes, first of all, for all those people that have been affected, hopefully – you know, those guys have a speedy recovery, and hopefully the people that are not affected are doing the necessary things and taking precaution and staying inside. For me, I've been blessed, man. I've been blessed to play the game of basketball for 15 years. Been blessed to make, you know, fortunate enough to make a lot of money. And I've been in this house that I'm in now going on a year in July. So I built me a gym. I built a full, you know, full court gym, four baskets. And I have an AAU program where I have fifth grade through eighth grade. So, I mean, I pretty much just been in the gym with my kids, you know.
Oh,
and it's this has been such a blessing for them because, yeah, they're in school, but it's online courses. And it gives them an opportunity to be in the gym for countless hours working on their games and getting better while they're taking advantage of some of the kids that they compete against. They don't have that luxury, right? So, yeah, I mean, right. It's a blessing for them to be able to have the opportunity to go in the gym. And for me, I love it. You know, I love to put my stamp and give my knowledge to these kids. And that's pretty much what I've been doing. And, of course, I have four kids from 17 to 14 to 12 to 10, girl, boy. And I've been working my kids out along with a couple of the kids in my AAU program. So, you know, the wife and my kids, we here. You know, we get some fresh air. We got 5 acres that we're on. I mean,
that's awesome.
We've been blessed, man.
George, everybody doesn't have access to the McGrady Amusement Park. Look at all that stuff behind them there.
Dante, I put a hoop up in the driveway.
Wow. Look at that. It's like a resort.
That's nice. That's pretty great. Yeah, I put a hoop up in the driveway. The HOA gives me a letter the next day. Can't have that in the driveway. So,
you know what's crazy is they've gone around the city and taken all the basketball goals down from the park.
That's everywhere.
They don't want people out.
Everywhere. They don't want people out shooting around, right?
It's a serious matter, man, and I hope people are really, you know, taking this seriously.
So what else are you doing to pass the time, T-Mac? Because we've been talking to a lot of guys where everybody's kind of burning through their Netflix accounts. They're burning right? Like, so what are you like Dante and I? Like, we're into this Tiger King guy.
Of course. I mean, we're Floridians. Of course. I mean, our people are crazy, man. What the hell are they thinking?
Right?
It is bananas. I'm on the third episode, so I'm not finished with it yet.
I mean,
Netflix and Amazon Prime has been my go-to. So I'm going to tell you how much TV I've watched, right? So I started Homeland like 3 weeks ago.
Yep.
Homeland is 8 seasons. The eighth season is going on right now. I'm on the 8th season. I'm on the 8th season already. I already finished Ozark, which is unbelievable.
That is unbelievable.
The new one that just came out on Monday or whatever it was?
I finished it already. I finished it already.
Do you do this when the kids go to bed, or do you lock yourself in the room during the day, or what do you?
No, so the kids are taking online courses for their school. So while they're doing that, I don't come out of my room to 3 p.m. I'm in the bed. I'm watching. From the time I get up, I am Netflix and Amazon Prime. Because my kids don't come over to the house till like 3:30, and I get a workout in before they come over, and then I work them out. But from the time being, I am laid up in my cave, and it's dark, and I'm Netflix.
There you go.
So the fact that Tiger King started in Florida didn't surprise you a ton. It didn't surprise you.
Not at all. Not at all. I mean, I probably grew up living next to some people who had some tigers or some alligators.
We're lucky that wasn't in Auburndale. That definitely was not in Auburndale.
You cannot put anything past the country folks in Auburndale. I'm just trying to tell you right now. I can't put it past them, bro.
This podcast is presented to you by the all-new Seltos SUV from Kia, official vehicle of the Orlando Magic. Give it everything.
Hey, we caught up with Patrick Ewing a little earlier, and he was just mentioning the time he spent with you in Orlando. And obviously we mentioned, because Coach Clifford mentions it about 3 times a day, you're 13 points in 33 seconds, which he should. That's just an incredible feat. But when you think back on your time with Patrick Ewing as a player, you know, as his teammate, and then as one of your coaches, what comes to mind thinking about the Hall of Famer?
I mean, just very knowledgeable of the game, very friendly and easy to talk to. Love to talk basketball. Just love to talk about, you know, things in life and in general. I learned a lot being around Pat, you know, just being his size and watch how he worked to stay in shape, the professionalism. It was great to be with him and in Orlando, went to Houston and spent some years together. I mean, you know, it was awesome.
Did you know Pat at all before he joined us with the Magic? Or is that where your, was that your first introduction to Patrick?
No. I met him years ago when he was still with the Knicks.
Okay.
So I had some run-ins with him back then.
Okay. All right. So clear something up, T-Mac, because we've heard a lot of reports. There are reports out there that the Magic were this close to having you, Grant Hill, and Tim Duncan. That it was possible that all three of you guys were coming to Orlando. Did you think that was happening? Did you think you were signing? Obviously, you knew what the situation was and you wanted to come to Orlando, but did you think those guys were coming with you too?
Well, I knew I was positive about two out of the three.
Yeah, okay.
I was unsure about Timmy. There's no way I felt like Timmy was leaving San Antonio.
Okay.
And I felt like Grant was going to sign. I was coming regardless because, you know, that's home. I'm coming home.
Right.
I felt like Grant was going to sign, but yeah, I figured it was going to be two out of the three.
Yeah, that's how I felt, by the way, on the inside. I knew we had Tracy and I knew we had Grant. And I did not know if Tim Duncan was a possibility.
So I'm on my show and with the Jump, and I forgot how it came up, but somebody broke the news that the reason we didn't get Timmy is because Doc wouldn't allow, I guess, your significant other fly on the plane. And that was a deal breaker for Timmy. And when I found that out, I was crushed, bro. And if that is true, I can't wait to have a sit down with Doc Rivers on this. I really hope he tells me, T-Mac, that is not true. Cause if it is, I might jump on Doc and ain't no telling what I might do. Polk County might come out of me.
Have you not seen Doc or Tim Duncan since that little report came out?
No, I haven't. But I'm definitely going to ask Doc if there's any truth to that.
All right. So these are just some numbers I want to throw out at you. You probably know most of them, but all right. Most games with 30 or 40 or more points, Tracy McGrady had 11 of them, Dante, in one season, 2002-03. Most games with 30 or more points. Same season, he had 51 games with 30.
30?
Of 30.
Wow.
These are the things that when we were in it at the time, I mean, let's be right. Okay. Like that, these numbers, we're doing it at the time.
Out of 82 games,
you did not play all 82 that year, I don't think.
I played 79, I think.
Okay. I didn't look that up. I looked up the other stuff. I probably should have done a little more homework. You had 51 games with 30 or more. That was the year you averaged 32.
Wow.
50
wow.
games.
I sit back now, that was in 2002-03, and we were in the middle of it, and we knew you were a great scorer. We knew you were a great player. But looking back at these numbers, I tell people all the time, I'm like, I can't believe that I sat there for all of them.
You got spoiled.
Yes.
You got spoiled.
There's no doubt, because now a guy scores 30 for us, I lose my mind. I'm like, I haven't seen this in weeks.
Yep.
We're doing it every night.
It's that mystique just wears off, man, because you witnessed it every night, right?
It just was old. I got bored.
Like my kids, like, they don't know the magnitude of, like, what I really did in my career and some of the things that I was able to accomplish. They just see me as Coach Matt. You know what I mean? Like, that mystique is worn off of them.
They have to remind them every now and again?
Damn right I do.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Now think about, so now fast forward, in a day and age where they can't put their hands on you, right?
Oh gosh.
What would those numbers have looked like? You had some physical people hanging on.
He'd had 40 50 right. times.
Like James Harden numbers.
Yes.
Yeah, really.
Exactly like James Harden numbers. Like, I mean, it's ridiculous, right? You know, some of those defenses that I was facing, like the Detroit Pistons and, you know, how compacted the paint was, you know, trying to drive the ball and get to the bucket. That was super tough in our era. You know what I mean? And,
absolutely.
You know, can't touch now? Nah. No chance of trying to guard me.
What changed for you here? I know it was an opportunity and, you know, you came here and were the guy instantly, but what else changed? What other factors were there? How much did Doc play a role? Everything. What else helped you become who you were?
The biggest impact, the person that had the biggest impact on my career when I was in a Magic uniform, the day I stepped foot in that organization was Johnny Davis.
Is that right?
It's Johnny Davis. Hands down, that man taught me so many moves and so many counter moves that I was so unaware of. Mind you, you know, I was coming from being the third or fourth option in Toronto. So,
right.
You know, I signed this deal. I was a sixth man, right? And I signed a max deal.
Yeah, right.
Right? So I'm coming to an organization where I thought I was going to be teammates with Grant Hill, but yeah. We know how that played out. So the keys was handed to me, you know, quicker than I expected. So it's a much bigger role that I had to play in. Johnny helped me with my footwork that I never knew existed. You know, some of the things that he taught me. And when I started, at first, I was like, what are we doing? Because, you know, I was all athleticism and just wanting to use my first step, go by somebody and dunk on you. But when he taught me these different moves and footwork and how to do certain things, my game elevated to another level. And that's where, you know, I believe I went from having a mentality of being a Scottie Pippen-like to having a mentality like Kobe and MJ to where I felt like nobody can guard me. Like my mentality before I got there, I thought, you know, I averaged 20 points. I'll be able to do everything, right? 20 points, assist, rebound. Never in a million years did I think thought I would average 27, 30 points. Never.
When did that switch? Because you're naturally not a selfish player. You had great IQ, good vision, passing the ball. When did that mentality change? Like, is it when Grant went down?
Yeah.
You looked at our roster and you're like, crap, I'm gonna really have to shoulder the load here.
He's gonna need to do something.
Well, it was.
Oh boy.
Well, it was Johnny again. It was Johnny. We need you to do more. We need you to do this. You know, you gotta step up. You gotta give us more. Grant is not here, so we need you to, you know, you're gonna have to score for us. I mean, it's not fair. It is what it is. It's a situation. So right away, I understood that. And then I started understand how to – I wouldn't call it being selfish, but I had to really assert myself on the offensive end a little bit more than, you know, usual.
Did Johnny teach you the throwing the ball off the backboard and dunking it in the game?
That's just all natural creativity.
So hold on. So I want to – everybody knows you did it, you know, in the All-Star game. That's where everybody saw it the first time. That's where everybody saw it the first time, right? And then you did it in the Magic Toronto game during the regular season. But the first time you did it, okay, I was there.
Boston,
yeah. During the preseason. There was no TV, right? There was no TV. But I was digging through. I've been doing a lot of cleaning, Mac. Like, everybody's been cleaning out their stuff and getting rid of stuff, okay?
Which one went to high school?
Right? I found this. Huh? Nothing.
Yeah.
So this is from March of 01, right? And it's a picture, and I know it's the same game because the seats are empty, right? Here's the poster.
Yeah.
Right? And that's the play. That's the play where you threw it off the backboard. I know it is. Because then Dante looked right behind Mac's arm.
There he is. Yeah. Look at Paul Pressey. Look at Paul Pressey. He can't believe what he just saw.
I was trying to tell everybody, like, hey, Daddy was on a basketball poster too one time.
He was inactive that game. George was inactive.
Oh, man.
But that was the first time. Like, I remember that preseason game. And you did that, and we're all looking at each other like, what in the hell? What? Like, we didn't know what just happened.
Yeah, I was crazy, bro. I can't tell you anything else. I was crazy. Like, I just like to try things and be creative. And I did it in high school.
Okay.
And so I didn't go to college. So, you know, I wanted to try that ability on the highest level. And that preseason game is, that one was instinct. I just tried it out of instinct on that one. The Toronto one, I actually told the guys I was going to do it. You remember that? I told them that I was going to throw it off the guy at the glass. And then the All-Star game, I planned it. I didn't plan it at that moment, but I planned it like I wanted to do it on that stage. And it was just a perfect time to do it.
Dante, have you ever seen the Boston one, the preseason?
Yeah, I remember seeing it when it happened. Yep, I did.
That might have been the best one of all. I mean, there was traffic in the lane. Yeah, there was people. It was.
I honestly don't. I remember doing it in Boston, but I can't tell you the play or how it happened.
I just remember the paint being packed, and I remember. I think we all looked like what the. And then you. I mean, you yoked it.
I want to say Kenny Anderson was under the basket when I threw it. It was Kenny Anderson.
Yeah, because I could pull out the picture. He's right.
Okay.
I remember poor Ray for Alston in the Toronto.
Yeah.
There's Kenny right there.
There he goes. There's Kenny.
Let me see.
Right there. That's Kenny right there.
Okay.
And then look, there's Tony Batty. Getting the taste of it.
Look at everybody's faces like, man, no way. What? Look at that. Look at my boy, D.A. That's
the best. And then Press's face is the best right there.
Press is just
– his mouth is wide open.
Just blown away.
So good.
There's a new member of the Magic Hall of Fame, your guy Darrell Armstrong this year.
Yes.
Have you ever known a guy to squeeze as much out of his body as humanly possible?
Hell no. That guy? Nope. No, you're talking about exhausting your ability to its full potential. Like, that dude, man, he by far my favorite teammate. I must say that. Yeah, he's my favorite teammate. Like, D.A., to be his size and what he was able to accomplish and what he went through to get to the NBA, I mean, you know, it speaks volume of how hard that kid worked, and it's just a great testimony, man, that he can one day tell his story to some kid that, you know, feels he's too small to play the game, and DA can, you know, have inspired a bunch of these small guys to overcome what, you know, they feel can't be accomplished.
And David Steele says all the time, his story should be a movie.
Man, I've never seen anybody play that hard for a full season the way he did. He brought it every night. Like, Russell Westbrook, Kobe and MJ and LeBron, like, they don't cheat the game. And DA didn't cheat the game. Like, he gave you his heart and soul every single night.
You know what was interesting too, Tracy? There's my, you know, I started in 98 with the Magic. I know I only look like I'm 30, but I started with the 90s. But you had come a couple of years after that. And I just remember because Grant was hurt a lot, as we know, and Darryl was kind of up and coming, right? He was kind of burst onto the scene. But, you know, being part of the media, if anybody wanted to talk to somebody, it was you. It was you every game, before the game, after the game, after practice, whatever it may be. And you never turned that down. And I'm sure you went to George. I'm sure there were days you said you didn't want to do it. But I don't remember that happening. I don't ever remember us being turned down. And always gracious and never short. I don't know how you did that when you knew night in and night out you were going to be the guy we were all going to go to.
Well, that was the thing. I mean, I knew I was the guy. And I had to be the voice for the team. And, you know, I knew I couldn't shy away from that. And I love talking to you guys. You know what I mean? Like, there were some guys in the media that, you know, I cringed when they came around, but
sure.
But
Their names rhyme with Schmarcatelli.
I am saying no names.
That's right.
You know, George. You already know. You already know. Because I got on his ass a couple times, but, I wasn't bashful about that. But, no, I mean, that was my job, and I knew what responsibility that I had, and, you know, I took full responsibility on making sure I was available for you guys.
How much does that – well, we appreciate that, first of all. That's a big reason that number one hang. For me, that's a big – for the Marcatellis.
Oh, no. You just had, you know, somebody bring that to the house and you just hung that up. You know what I mean? Just saying.
There's three jerseys that aren't coming off this wall, and those are the ones right there. But
those other two, boy, that's some bad boys. Man, I'm honored. Jay, I'm honored to be next to them boys.
When we were talking to Patrick, that was Patrick up there to the right. Or to,
No, it wasn't. But I mean, how much did that help you? I mean, just because you always, I don't want to say you just say whatever you want. I mean, you have a way of coming across so honest and so genuine. How much does that help you on TV? You're a straight shooter. You're a straight shooter.
I don't know any other way.
Yeah.
And sometimes it's to my detriment, but I just say what I feel. You know what I mean? And I guess that's why I'm on TV. That's why Rachel reached out to me, because of me being honest and authentic, and I say what's on my mind.
All right. Look, can we talk about your 62-point game for a second? Because I want to clear something up.
Go ahead.
All right. You've told many people, right, that the reason you didn't score 70 that night was because Joel Glass and I were sitting there telling you how many points you had, keeping in mind that there are two giant scoreboards on the side of the arena that tell you how many points you had in the game.
I don't pay attention to that.
Okay. So it's my fault you didn't score 70?
you got part of the blame. I can't blame it all on myself. You know, I missed 9 free throws.
Well, that's what I blame it on. I blame it on the 9 free throws.
But do you guys know I missed 9 of my last 10 shots? Y'all know that?
Yes.
Oh,
I missed 9 of my last 10 shots and 9 free throws.
Yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. But
add those numbers up.
Yeah, right. Sure.
A lot. You'd have had 90.
Come on, man.
I mean, were you talking to the guys that night? I mean, how much did you know you had it going and you were letting people know? You had to be.
Nah, that's the thing. That wasn't one of those nights where I felt like I had it rolling. Like a night that I really had it rolling where I felt like, yo, I might get 80 tonight, was when we played Chicago Bulls. And we played – we played Chicago. I had 52 and 3/4, and Doc wouldn't play me.
That's right.
In the fourth quarter,
because weren't we were up by like 30.
Yeah, so I was like, man, why the game can't be closer? I understood, you know, me not playing. I was like, I wish this game was closer, because I was in a zone that night, and I was mad because they traded away Mike Miller.
Right. That was right after that.
Yeah, it was right after that.
You're right.
And then the other night was when we played against Denver. I had 37 and a half.
Right.
Yeah. And it was just another blowout. But that 62-point game, I felt like I didn't have it, you know, like those two nights.
We have to watch at the end of every Magic game. The starters do not get pulled until there's about 4 seconds left. Because Steve Clifford tells the media every night, I watched a guy get 13 points in 33 seconds.
It's true.
So we have to watch these guys play every last second of the game because of that performance. I mean, you'll never see anything like that again. I mean, what kind of a zone was that? And just what memories come to mind thinking about that, team?
So, of course, San Antonio, me, Benny Houston, it's an in-state robbery. It's always a very competitive game. San Antonio, of course, is a great defensive team. At the time, I think I was struggling from the field. I think only had like 21, 22 points or something, and I wasn't shooting great that night. But come towards the end of the game, it was just the will to take over, right? I mean, this is why we worked so hard in the offseason. Yeah. I mean, for these type of moments right here to take over a game and, you know, prepare your team to a win. So I hit the first three, felt good about it, you know. But when you hit a tough shot like I hit on that four-point play over a Tim Duncan,
right,
then everything, the basket opens up for you, and you just feel like, okay, I'm not going to miss any shots, right? I don't care what type of defense they're playing, I'm going to get a shot up, and I feel like it's going to go in. So that was a four-point play. Come back down, we foul, take the ball out. Now, it's hard as hell to get this ball inbounds because R.J. Barrett's so small, so we had to throw it up over Tony Parker and Bruce Bourne. And it should have been another four-point play because as I'm dribbling at the top of the key, Bruce Bourne is right on my hip, riding me the whole way,
yep.
And I rise up and make the three. So we're down two. They call a timeout. This one, you know, basketball guys is just on your side, and it is real, right? Like, it is real. Devin Brown gets the ball from the out-of-bounds play. Our job was, Van Gundy was like, let's go for the steal. Don't foul right away. Go for the steal. Get the ball to Devin Brown. He tries to make a move, slips, and falls. No one touches him. And the ball rolls directly to me, the guy, the hottest guy on the court right now.
Right, right.
I already know what time it is. I'm not looking to tie this ball game. I get the ball. I'm dribbling up the court. I'm looking for my spot. And I know I'm going to make this shot. I know I'm sending us home with a win. That's the only way this can really end. And boom, hit the shot. Now, I'm going to tell you, I'll be lying if I sat up here and told y'all I wasn't scared when Tony Parker got that ball and dribbled and put that shot up.
Right.
Do you know what that would have done to me if he would have made that shot?
That would have been brutal.
Oh, God.
Brutal.
Oh, but, man – That was a crazy night. I couldn't believe what just happened. And you know, the crazier thing is something that incredible of a comeback. I didn't watch that full game until I retired from the game of basketball.
Not at all?
Nope.
That's crazy.
Nope.
I'm just
weird about that, man. I don't know. I just didn't want to go back and watch it while I was playing. I waited till I was retired to go back and watch it.
Yeah, sure. What do you, Tracy? How much do you see with our guys now? How much do you watch the Magic? I know you came in with you came in training camp, and Jonathan Isaac still talks about some of that footwork you gave him, and now maybe we know why some of the stuff that you learned, you know, mm-hmm. that you were able to pass on, and we kind of saw a little turnaround jumper, and his eyes light up when he thinks about that conversation you had early in the year. But just touch on Jonathan Isaac and what you saw from the Magic this year.
Well, I think he has great potential with his size, his length. I mean, I actually think not only could he be a great offensive threat, but defensively he could be all-world defensively, right?
Right.
You know, I just think they got a great deal of talent. And my message to them when I went to talk to those guys is that, yeah, you don't have – a KD, a Kyrie on the same team. You don't have a LeBron or an AD, but y'all got a great deal of talent, of height, length, athleticism. You got great guard work. You got shooting. You know, I told him I wasn't always on the most talented team, but I was always on a team that competed and played hard every single night. Mm-hmm. Every single night. The Darrell Armstrongs and the Pat Garrity's and, you know, the Andrew DeClercq's, like, those boys came and bust their ass every night. You know what I mean? Like, yeah, I was out there scoring a lot of points, but it was them boys doing all the dirty work and playing hard and making my job easy. And that's the reason why we was able to win 40-plus games, you know, just having a main scorer such as myself and not another all-star or even a guy close to an all-star, right?
Yeah. Right.
And then even when I got to Houston, I mean, we had guys that played extremely hard, didn't have the most talented team or the most athletic team. We played hard. And that's the one thing that everyone can do is give that effort night in and night out. And, you know, that was my message to him. But, you know, I think Aaron and Evan and Jonathan, those three guys, a solid point guard like DJ, and Markell, man. I'm so happy for Markell. Mm-hmm. Markell's looked really good, really good. And he's starting to show, you know, why he was drafted so high, and I think he's going to continue to get better as he get mentally stronger, as he understands the NBA game. So I hate that, you know, the season ended the way it is.
Yeah.
It has. But I look forward to see, you know, what's going to transpire with the Magic next season.
This podcast is presented to you by the all-new Seltos SUV from Kia, official vehicle of the Orlando Magic. Give it everything.
How much time would guys need in a situation like this to get back into a be able to play? A couple of weeks?
Well, yeah. I would think they would need 2 weeks, at least a week for a training camp.
Right.
And then, you know, if you're going to play regular season games, they're going to need at least 10 games, man.
Yeah,
right.
At least 10 games, 10, 15 games to get back in. I just don't think it's enough time.
I guess we'll see, right?
Hopefully they can do something. You're right. We're missing it. We got nothing. I mean, you got 8 seasons of Homeland in a day, so we're missing stuff.
Oh, no, you telling, man. Listen, hey, ESPN know they missing it too. That's why they moved that Jordan doc up.
Right, right, exactly.
That's a good call.
Ain't nobody watching it.
How much are you looking forward to that, though?
I can't wait to watch that series.
Right?
Man. Yeah, I'm looking forward to that.
What do you hear about Jordan? I know you got him as a Wizard. Did you get him? You might have got him as a
Wizard. I got him 72.
That's right. So what your memory of Jordan?
And I must brag that we were one of the teams to beat him in that 72 and 10 year.
Is that right?
Yeah. I just remember just how competing against MJ, man, just how poised, just poetry and motion, just how fluid he was. Played at his own pace, and I mean, it was just, I don't know. I can't describe it. He was so damn good, man. Like, I mean, I look at my year. I averaged 32. I thought I was like, I thought, man, I'm nice. Like, ain't nobody touching me.
Yeah.
But this dude did it his whole career and just above. Like, dude was so great, man. So great. I'm gonna tell you a story. I had declared myself coming out of high school, right? And the Bulls was in the playoffs. I think it was 1997. They were in the playoffs playing against the Hawks. So I went to the playoff game in Atlanta and watched the game. MJ just put on a show, him and Scotty. So my coaches that took me got passes to take me in the back. So I'm back by the locker room. 17 years old, guys.
Yes, I can't imagine that.
Guys, I'm standing by the locker room, you know, guys start coming out. Scotty comes out. You know, I talk to Scotty. I like Scotty, so I talk to Scotty for a bit.
Yeah.
And I'm sitting there. MJ walks out. Man, listen, that dude was glowing, bro. I am not joking. When I seen Mike come out of that damn locker room, he was glowing. I'm not exaggerating. I saw his physical appearance, and it had a glow around him. And I'm looking at Mike, and my mouth is wide open. I don't know what to say to him. I'm just looking like, oh, my God, it's real. He's real. He's dog. He is glowing. I was so stunned, man. 17 years old, my first time ever meeting Mike and ever being like starstruck like that. I was like, oh my God, God, you can take me now.
Take me now.
I met Mike.
Awesome. Now, hold on, though. Okay, so how do you go from there to a year later, you have to play against him?
Yeah. I was still like that. I was still like that.
Till when? Till he was done?
No. I was still like that because, again, I'm 18 years old now, and I'm playing against Mike. And, you know, this somebody that, you know, I wish I could reach his level. Like, I watched everything that he did. And, you know, I'm competing against this guy. And, you know, I was shaking in my boots trying to guard this dude. But then as that mystique wears off, then it's yeah. Okay. It's time to compete. He laces him up just like I lace him up. And, you know, actually my rookie year, I had one of my better games playing. I almost had a triple double. If you ever seen a video where I go up and try to dunk on Scotty, but I land on his back because he catches me and I'm riding his neck.
Yeah.
I had like 12, 9, and like 7 that game. Like I had a pretty damn good game.
You weren't that excited when you saw Luke Longley? You had a different feeling?
No, mate.
Myers.
Not at all, mate.
Okay, so how about this? Could you have Tracy McGrady in minor league baseball, could you have struck out Michael Jordan in minor league baseball?
Oh, yeah.
You have.
Absolutely. Yeah. Absolutely.
Sure.
Yeah, yeah. Mike could have got some of this, too, yeah. But what a lot of people don't understand – towards the end of his minor league career, he picked it up and started balling.
He did.
Like he started picking it up, man, and really started playing well on that diamond. But yeah, I think I would have struck him out though.
Yeah, no doubt. All right, we got a couple of quick hitters for you from some fans before we let you go. And the number one thing is Magic all-time starting five. If you have to put an all-time starting five in Magic history.
That's easy.
Who'd your top five be?
That's easy. Penny, myself, G Hill, Dwight Howard, and Shaq.
Yeah, that's a pretty good five.
I'll take that five. That sounds pretty good. Yep.
I'll take that five.
I'll run with that.
That's easy.
No doubt.
That's pretty good right there. What was your favorite thing about living in Orlando? Obviously, you're from here. You're a Central Florida guy, but what do you love the most about Central Florida, T?
Man, just Florida itself. I just love the water, man. It was days like this, you know, on an off day or go to practice and being able to come home. And I just went out on my dock and just got some R&R and just listened to the waves of the water or just, you know, just relax. I mean, just being around that type of atmosphere every day, you know, I miss that. I'm not even going to lie. Just being on a lake. I loved it.
That's fantastic. And lastly, do you have a favorite dunk? This says cheers from Italy. So you got fans in Italy. You got fans all over the world, as you know. But a favorite, is there a most memorable dunk you've had in your career?
I know a lot of people like that that Sean Bradley dunk.
Yeah, but, I like that one.
Yeah.
Pretty good.
To me, because it showed my aggression and just, you know, I was just so locked in. And the playoffs when we played Milwaukee, when I dunked on Tim Thomas with the left hand, it just was like.
That was a good one.
Just threw him off me like that right there. And Timmy is my man. I actually talked to him the other day. But to me, that's one of my favorites.
I thought you were going to go Detroit on Mehmet Okur. Yeah, that's my favorite. That's a good one.
That was nasty too. Yeah. So I mean, it's subjective. I don't know.
I thought you were gonna say.
I had so many, Dante. I'm not really.
What were you gonna say, Tay? What are you gonna say?
I thought you were gonna say Pat Garrity on Dalembert. You remember that?
That was a sneaky one. Sneaky nasty. Yes.
That was awesome.
Yes. Yes.
Just yes. And then turned around like he did it every day. It was awesome.
That probably was Pat's only poster he ever made.
Ever.
That was awesome. Oh, well, that's good, man. I feel for you with that 5 acres and the amusement park and all that stuff
you're
quarantined with and the bright sunshine. Boy, it's tough, isn't it, for you?
I'd rather be on a lake somewhere, though, honestly.
Yeah.
Come on back.
I miss my state, man.
Well, you're welcome anytime. We'd love to have you.
Yep. Yep.
Be safe, Tracy. We really appreciate this, and I know we wish the best for you and your family, and keep up the great work on TV, and we appreciate you making time.
All right, guys. Take care.
I appreciate it. Safe.
Thank you, bud.
Thanks a lot.
All right, later.
Take care, Tracy. Be safe.
Yep. Later.
Orlando Magic Pod Squad, presented by Kia, official vehicle of the Orlando Magic.